Welcome to the podcast edition of Business Week in Review with Jeff Beaupre, Business Radio for the Business Minded, a service of Colorado Networks and Evanix in partnership with the European Economic Chamber and sponsored by Fairlane Web Consulting, exclusive web services provider for Business Week in Review. And now, here is your host, Jeff Beaupre.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Finally getting some good weather. Hope it's a great start to the weekend. We have a busy program today. The studio is packed. We've got all sorts of guests. We have Stacy Burns here from the Better Business Bureau. Stacy, welcome. We're going to talk about some ticket giveaway in a minute. Mike Weir, CEO of the El Paso County Medical Society, is here. And Cheryl Law, CEO of the Pueblo Medical Society, is also here. Welcome, all of you. This is great. And we've got a kind of a heavy subject today, but it's one that we need to talk about. And I'm really excited to have Cheryl and Mike in the studio together. We want to be doing more of this in the medical space. But before we get to that, we've got a couple of things to take care of. Why don't I talk about cyber issues first, and then we're going to do a ticket giveaway. So, yeah, everybody get ready. My favorite subject, Facebook. Oh, my goodness. They were caught yet again. So they like to have a phone number under there so they can... It's basically a password if you have account issues. Well, they were supposed to keep that secure and safe from everything else. They've been found out that they've put it into a database and people can search it and put your name and your phone number together and search that database for correlations. This hit it big time. So again, they're taking more privacy heat. I won't get on my box. But as a result, the millennial group, they're saying between 15 and 35 years of age, that's kind of an expanded group, they have lost 8% of their accounts. It's in the tens of millions of users on Facebook have dropped out in that age group as a result of that. So I think that's going to light it up. Now, the fix is go to the settings area in Facebook, select privacy, and you find where your phone number, they don't list the phone number. You can't get rid of it. But it'll say who you share it with. Click that and say friends only. So you at least shut that down so it's not wide open. So there's first takeaway for the program today. Also, if you're using the Chrome browser on any platform, be it Mac, Windows, or anything, if you're using Chrome, make sure you do the latest update. They found a major hole in it that's already been exploited in the wild. So make sure you update that one. There's the next one. In phishing emails, just a tidbit, in 2018, it's been, the report has come in, that phishing emails have grown 2.5x, 250% over 17. So the threats are real. There's a big threat against banking. Everybody's here shaking their head going, oh, Jeff, all you do is scare us to death. We can't sleep. But you want to keep track of that. Also, I want to give a shout-out to some new listeners out of Tourcoing, France. Bonjour Jacques, Camille, in Fabien Denis, comment allez-vous? Et bienvenue à le programme. So welcome. My French is terrible, but, you know. So with that, let's go to Stacy. She's got an event to announce, and it's tonight, right?
The event is tonight, yes.
It's the PRISM Awards.
We have our third annual PRISM Awards tonight starting at 5:30.
And what is PRISM?
So you were speaking of some companies that maybe are doing some things we don't care for in our community. Tonight's about celebrating companies that are doing amazing things in our community, specifically around social impact and doing things to support our environment, doing things to support our homelessness, just any kind of issue that might be out there, and make sure that we have brought awareness to companies that are doing not only good business and have good business models, but also are supporting great things happening in our community.
And social enterprise is something that's really growing. It's a big segment of the economy now, and that's good to see.
It is. You've got people on Wall Street and Main Street talking about it, which is very exciting.
That's great to hear. Well, tonight's event is at 5:30 at the Garden of the Gods Visitor Center. I screwed up last week and I said the Garden of the Gods Club, and I was like, oh, I got to go to that party.
Please don't go to the club. Yes, we'd love to have you at the Visitor and Nature Center.
And Nature Center at 5:30. And you've got a couple of tickets to give away.
We do.
So, TJ, let's take the third caller at 473-1240. So, third caller, and Stacy has a pair of tickets to this event tonight. Should be a great time, a great networking event, and recognize of social media. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
So, let's go to a quick break, and stay with us because we're going to be talking to Cheryl and Mike about this heavy medical issue, and quite a surprise to me, but you're listening to the Business Week in Review on KRDO News Radio. It's 914. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Business Week in Review. Great discussion we're going to have in a couple of minutes. I also want to, I got a text during the break that our friends in France text me. They said, we heard you, but your French is terrible and they want my name back. So they got a good sense of humor. Also want to say congrats to Teeter. Did I get that right, TJ? Teeter, winner of the tickets for the Prism Awards tonight at the Garden of the Gods Visitor Center. So stop by. It's 399 South A Street. You can pick those tickets up today, and we'll look forward to seeing you tonight. Well, let's introduce this subject. And again, my guests, and I'm really excited about having both of them here. We need to do this more often. But Mike Weir of the El Paso County Medical Society, the CEO. Mike, welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Great to be back.
And Cheryl Law, CEO of the Pueblo County Medical Society as well. Welcome, Cheryl.
Well, thank you, Jeff. It's an honor to be here. All of you are incredible and so pleasant.
Well, it's going to be a good discussion, but this is something I was introduced to at the awards ceremony, a month or two ago now, Mike, that the physician burnout is such a huge topic.
Yes.
And how does it lead into more serious things? And we're going to talk about some of the suicide portion of that. That was what blew me away. But Cheryl, you had a great intro piece in here defining what is burnout and, you know, how it impacts things. Talk a little bit about, or maybe go through that that definition, because it really got my attention.
Sure, Jeff. No problem. I, you know, with everything that is being spoken about the issue and talked about and out there available to read, it was like, what really is burnout? And I found this definition. It says that burnout is characterized by a high degree of emotional exhaustion and high depersonalization and a low sense of personal accomplishment from work. So the word that came out and stuck out to me was depersonalization. Wow. What does that mean?
Depersonalization. Yeah, that was my initial, like, what?
It just flies out at you. So looking up the definition of depersonalization in the psychiatry term, from what I understand, it means a state in which one's thoughts and feelings seem unreal or not to belong to oneself, or in which one loses all sense of identity.
That's an amazing statement. And then to know that this is so heavily tied to the medical community. Of course, I say that, but on the same breath, you look at the pressure the docs are under, their schedules. You know, I've got a new daughter-in-law that is a resident now, and the hours they're subjected to, and then you get into whether you're an ER doc or, you know, any of them, the hours they put in, the stress they're under, and they're dealing, you know, with life and death matters, I can see where it gets pretty stressful. So, very interesting.
Very, very stressful. And when you think of depersonalizing something, I mean, you're just disconnected from reality. And you're just walking or working in this automated mode of just functioning. You're just functioning just to get the job done.
You're almost robotic at that point.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's interesting. You know, and Mike in the prep meeting brought in an article that you just wrote about this.
Published a few months ago, but yeah, pretty recently.
How do the medical societies, let's talk about the major subject of the depression, and then maybe in the next segment talk about how the medical societies can assist with this. Are there services? How do you deal with that? But you know, talk about your article a little bit.
Well, I mean, it really, you know, just Yeah, having spent 17 years of my career working with physicians and you know, not being a physician myself, but really somebody who spends my days talking to physicians, other folks in a medical practice, you really get an understanding of what their motivations are and really what drives them to do what they do. I mean, it is a major investment to become a physician. You know, you get your undergraduate degree, then you have 4 years of medical school, and then between, you know, depending on what specialty you go into, you have anywhere from 3 to 10 years of training on top of that. So you're talking to some specialties, say if you're neurosurgery, you're into your 30s before you're earning any income, any kind of reasonable income for that investment you've made. So it's a major commitment. You have to really, really love what you're doing and be passionate about it. Prime example to talk about the mind of the physician and emotionally is my mom's surgeon from this week. So a gentleman in Dayton, Ohio named Alan Thurman. So your mom, you know, had surgery and, you know, doing great. Love you, mom. Glad you're home and recovering. The
you don't have to speak French to do it.
Yes, I do. It's correct. But he said to her as in the visit before the surgery, "Thank you for trusting me." And it goes really...
That gives me goosebumps.
Yeah.
Cheryl shaking her head. That goes right to the personalization comment.
Yeah. Thank you for trusting me. And that so gets to the heart of why physicians do what they do and why everybody in healthcare does what they do. It is an honor and a privilege to treat patients. It's why people like Cheryl and me and our counterparts across the state and really across the country, why we put in the long hours that we do, because those people that are helping us as patients also need help. And so, you know, there's...
Yeah, they're not infallible. They're human like the rest of us.
You know, oh, yeah.
People, you know... think the physicians are, you know, they're almost inhuman, but no, they're people just like everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. And then when we look at some of the scary statistics, and it's really what this article got into, it's, you know, really from the point of view of what happens when our caregivers, the people who help us, need our help. And it talks about some of the statistics that are out there. I mean, some scary ones. One is 57% of physicians are reporting symptoms of burnout and depression. I mean, that's nearly two-thirds of the people that are taking care of us.
Yeah,
that's
huge.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about the hours that go into being a physician. The average primary care physician's working 2 more hours per week than he or she did 10 years ago, yet they're seeing 10% fewer patients. And that goes into a lot of the administrative burdens, all the non-clinical stuff that...
Running the business.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That they haven't been trained for. And just this huge spike in just regulatory compliance that's necessary now. So you have all these administrative burdens. You know, physicians are very highly trained and they're very, you know, very good at taking care of clinical matters. But then we throw all of these other things, you know, on the, you know, under, you know, mostly well-intentioned, focus area of you know, enhancing efficiency and improving care and a number of other things that we talk about lately. But, you know, really, it's, and I'm going to steal your quote, Cheryl, from our conversation a few days ago, at what cost? And that's really, it's when we look at the data, the RAND Corporation data that the American Medical Association commissioned a couple years ago, it's those non-clinical matters that are really what's driving a lot of this burnout. Yes. It's the lack of, you know, losing clinical autonomy. It's the administrative burden. It's things like electronic health records and, you know, all the regulatory compliance that goes into that. Throw a hard clinical matter at a physician and he or she's going to be trained to handle it or know how to bring in other people that can handle it.
That's a very good comment that Cheryl has.
Yeah.
But
the non-clinical stuff, they get no training for. So they rely on folks like Cheryl and me and the organizations we run to support them.
And you see the same thing, Cheryl?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I have not been working in the industry as long as Mike has been working in it, but just over, you know, the last 2.5.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Happy Friday. We're sitting here chuckling. Cheryl was in the middle of a great thing, and we had an accidental push of the button. You know, that's what happens with live radio, so we apologize. Let's go back and talk about that before we move on. My text messages just lit up when they said, "What happened?" So, you know, that's part of technology.
Live radio.
Yep. Right at that point, you said something about at what cost do you make all these changes, and so... Take it away.
Okay.
After we cut you off.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. Let me see if I can get my train of thought back. But Mike, yes, we were discussing that about basically what I was saying. Okay, so we're trying to lower healthcare costs and we're trying to raise patient-doctor care, you know, and that attentiveness there. And that's admirable. But at what cost are we doing that with our docs, you know, with those that are serving us? And where's the balance in that? And that's my concern. That's my biggest concern, because at the heart of our doctors, and I totally agree with you, Mike, these people are there to serve. Yep. That's what they want to do. And they want their autonomy to do that, to be able to treat a patient based upon their experience, their knowledge, their years of understanding and practical work. I mean, we put them through, you know, decades. Some mm-hmm. of them are you know, going through decades. They still go through, you know, taking educational classes. They have to get their CMEs. They have to be up on everything. They're knowledgeable people. We can trust them, you know, if we allow them to, you know, do what they do best.
Well, and I think the great thing that, you know, the medical societies are doing, you know, yourself and Mike, are filling, I say backfilling, that's not the right term, but providing the business services, some of the business training, things like that, or offload that, where they don't have to worry about it anymore and they can do what they've been trained for.
Yes.
And that's got to lower the stress factor a little bit anyway. I would think so.
Yeah, we'd hope. Yeah, I mean, it's one of many factors. I mean, it's, you know, we talk about, you know, a lot about burnout, but, and we a lot about, you know, on our show and our conversations over the last 12 months, that, you know, we talk about the business side of medicine, but it all ties in, you know, really what, you know, we at the El Paso County Medical Society and what, you know, just some of the things that we're doing really in offering business services, they go really to addressing the burnout issue. And it's something that, yeah, I'm glad we're starting to talk about more and more, because, you know, while physicians and their practices might need help with those things, what we're really at and our reason for existence since, you know, we as EPCMS were founded in 1879, I'm guessing at PCMS you guys were founded in, you know, similar time.
Okay. 1882.
So yeah, 1882. Mm-hmm. Our why, our reason for existence has always been about supporting that physician. And so when we talk about burnout, it's something that goes into why we were created years and years ago. You know, it's our entire industry.
This is not a new subject, but it's just now kind of in the forefront. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, not a new subject, but it is reaching crisis proportions.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, we're at a point where nearly 2/3 of the physicians in America are reporting symptoms of burnout and stress. When 400 physicians a year commit suicide, over one a day, we're reaching crisis proportions
as a
country.
That's an amazing number.
Yeah.
You know, and Cheryl was talking in the prep meeting this morning that she personally knows one that's talking about that and expressing some of it. And so there's got to be more of them. And like you said, mm-hmm. it's a huge issue.
Yes. And I think it's always been an issue. I think it's just better defined, you know. But Jeff, let me get back to, because something jumped out at me when I said we can trust them.
Mm-hmm.
We can trust our physicians. I could hear people just like scream out and say, wait a second, I had a doctor that did this to my parent, did this to me, did this or whatever it is. Yes, I know there have been occurrences and there have been situations where I faced them myself. I mean, my mom was diagnosed with something that could have landed her up, you know, on the surgery table, and she's 87 years old. It would have been horrible. But that is not the majority, is what I'm saying. That's not the majority. The majority of our physicians are there for us and they want to be there for us. But when they have to go through all this bureaucracy and all of these painstaking, cumbersome, computerized physician, you know, order entries and all of that, my goodness, it takes the focus off of what they really want to do. And that is that patient care. And I noticed that difference when I took my mother to a specialist. He walked in the room and he was cordial, but all he did was walk in the room and he sat down and he began speaking about her ailment and what she was suffering. He never introduced himself. He never asked us how our day was going. He wasn't interested in any of that. Talk about the depersonalization.
Yeah,
we were
right
not
to
in
it.
The room.
Mm-hmm.
It was a science project. That's what it felt like. I mean, it was very depersonalized. Then I went to a specialist, and it was the most incredible care I had ever received. I mean, he actually pulled up a chair, sat right in front of me, blocked me, you know, from being distracted by everything, and looked into my eyes and asked me, okay, Cheryl, what can we talk about with your situation? What's going on with you? I want you to tell me everything that you've been experiencing. And he kept, you know, asking me and responding to my statements. He listened to me, which I found so amazing. It was great.
I would think also that would help calm the doctor as well. As you build
yes.
that personal relationship and have those discussions, that's got to lower the stress level for them as well.
He was very calm, whereas the other one was very uptight. And you could see the difference in his nonverbal mm-hmm. communication. You know, and it put us at ease. And both topics were serious, but my mom's was incredibly serious at her age. So it, yes, there is a difference in, you know, lowering healthcare costs and raising patient doctor care and time, but at what cost are we doing this?
Well, and I think about, you know, from my side on the technology vector is, are we really helping the docs with all this electronics and keeping files? And, oh, yeah, there's still paperwork.
Yep.
That probably speeds the paperwork process, but it's got to add a stress level to now you got to be a computer jockey along with being a doc.
Yes.
Well, it does, and I've seen some credible data out there with certain electronic health record systems where the purpose is to improve the efficiency, but it really doesn't improve the efficiency at the exam room level. It might improve data collection at the chief medical officer level, at population health management level. But, you know, really at that exam room level, a lot of those electronic health records have as much as a 25% permanent drop in productivity for the physicians. So they're still required to see more patients, but now they have an even larger burden on the time they have to see those patients. And that's a major stressor.
I can see where it would be. Absolutely. Well, we're going to go to a short break. Not yet, TJ. But we're going to come back and talk about the societies, what they can do to kind of improve this. You know, and we're also going to be talking about the new partnership between this program and the Paso County Medical Society in Pro Practice. And we're going to get Cheryl involved in that as well. So we also want to say hello to all of the Colorado Medical Society members that are listening in. Our text messages are going fast and furious here, so welcome to all of the societies. You're listening to the Business Week in Review on KRDO News Radio. It is 9:46. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Business Week in Review on KRDO News Radio. We're having an interesting discussion with Cheryl Law and Mike Weir of their respective county medical societies. And we get to the point now, what are the takeaways for the physicians? I can spit that out.
Yeah.
And what are we doing to help them along the way? I mean, you both have touched on some amazing points and bringing this subject to the surface. It's coming around now. What can we do about it? And yes, you had some great points. Mike, you want to start off? Or
yeah, can do. Thanks, Jeff. This issue has gotten to be just such a dramatic level of just seriousness that there's a reason that the fastest growing program for our industry, the medical society industry, is the Physician Wellness and Burnout Program. And it was really started in Salem, Oregon, but really it was Portland, Oregon that picked up that program and developed a model that we could then export throughout the country. And so as an industry, we've created a group called the LifeBridge program where they're, through a grant from the Physicians Foundation, are developing a turnkey program that medical societies like ours can really implement. And so that's hands down, far and away, the fastest growing program in our industry because the things have become that serious.
I can see. Now, is it something that your respective medical societies are starting to implement, or the Colorado one in general? What's the status there?
Well, I mean, EPCMS, we're doing a number of things to address burnout, and some of it just means getting physicians in the same room to do nothing but just be social with other physicians. So we're looking at programs in ways that we can address physician burnout. The actual LifeBridge program, that's one thing we're looking at, but it's not something that we really have a timeline that we're going to implement. But we are doing a number of things.
Well, and Cheryl, you had a great point during the break is just getting them in. Mike, you mentioned it's social. You get them in the same room and get them to talk to each other and listen to each other.
Exactly.
So they can express some of the issues they've got.
Yes, listening is a key, to addressing the issue of burnout amongst, all of them. And what we're doing is our mission is to basically stay neutral in everything, all the politics, everything that's happening in healthcare, just in our little city, and to work to create a venue of collaboration.
There's always politics. Yeah, it never ends.
You betcha. And working to create a venue of collaboration, break down the silos, the fragmentation that we're seeing in the community, and bring them together. I have a for instance, and that was our board president, and he actually a member of our board. He joined us just a few months ago, but they were both directors of both the emergency medicine departments there in Pueblo, and they had not talked to each other for 12 years.
Oh,
they
my goodness.
They had not talked to each other for 12 years.
Are they just so busy and going different directions?
You know, none of us realize, Jeff, how fast time goes. I mean, look at us. We're already in March,
Yeah, I still haven't woke up from New Year's. Yeah.
Exactly. So we just don't, and we think it could be on our mind that, okay, we'll get a hold of them. We'll talk to them. But because of the medical society and because of what we're doing, I mean, he reached out to him. Because he thought he would be excellent. He would be excellent, a partner in our society to help us build what we're trying to build in the community.
That's just amazing. And so this is part of what's going on, and I'm going to spring this on Cheryl. We have opened this partnership between this program, Business Week in Review, and ProPractice and Mike Weir's organization. We've formalized that. It's going to be on a quarterly basis. Cheryl, I want to drag you into that partnership as well. Nothing like being pressured in live radio. but on a quarterly basis, have these medical discussions so that we have this conduit out to the physician organizations, to the respective county medical societies, and the Colorado medical. And if it goes bigger, so be it. But that's some of this communication we want. Well, before we wrap up, give us some contact information. So if somebody wants to contact the respective societies, how do they get a hold of you, Cheryl?
You can give me a call on my mobile phone at 719-281-6073. Text me if you'd like. Our website is up, finally. It is pueblocms.org, and it's still under construction, so please be patient with us. I'm one staff member, so we're doing our best to get that
going.
But definitely.
Mike?
Yeah, email, phone, website, best way. So email mware, at epcms.org, website epcms.org, or give us a call, 719-591-2424.
Outstanding. Thank you both. I've been privileged to have you in the studio. Oh,
Jeff. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to the podcast edition of Business Week in Review with Jeff Beaupre, Business Radio for the Business Minded, a service of Colorado Networks and Evanix, in partnership with the European Economic Chamber and sponsored by Fairlane Web Consulting, exclusive web services provider for Business Week in Review. Business Week in Review airs Friday mornings live at 9, 16 hours UTC, and originates from flagship KRDO Network in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Listen live at KRDO.com and on demand at businessweekinreview.com.